baby! Touchdown!
What's up, guys? Welcome into the OBR Film Breakdown. This is your Tuesday show, a little later delivery than normal. I'm trying to record this on a morning instead of in the evening. Get a little more sleep. Hopefully that helps my production throughout a day. So sorry the delivery is not in your inbox this morning. I'll get back to the grind on that tomorrow for you. But today, we're going to talk about the moving target look ahead. It's a lot. There's a running back two situation here that I do think does have merit in discussion of what is best. The Browns obviously have a very stacked running back room. We talked about Nick Chubb yesterday. In our 2022 preview series, obviously, that we're doing here, trying to get you ready position by position for this upcoming season. But we also are going to talk about some of the other guys in tomorrow's episode. That's, you know, Jerome Ford, Demetric Felton, and then looking at some of the other camp bodies that we'll be in and whether they have any potential value down the line. But we're kind of trying to look at this from an interesting perspective of the Browns have potentially here, if you include Demetric Felton, five running backs that are very rosterable players. That's not even including a fullback. So they continue to keep Kareem Hunt around on the last year of his deal. Now, Kareem has been publicly trying to push for another deal, as he should. Any player who wants to be near their hometown and really like the roster situation in a city are going to do that. But they also decided to tender and then sign, not the tender, but a different contract for D'Ernest Johnson, keeping him around on top of the fourth round pick Jerome Ford, on top of Felton, the pick the year before. It is congested. So the question is, what are the Browns going to do with their second running back? We're looking at this thing from a couple different angles. What if they keep all of them? And then what if they were to want to move from one of them, whether that's via trade or some alternative outcome? I don't think they would cut them. Either Kareem or D'Ernest, they would ride this year knowing that they're probably going to have to run the football a ton. I think that's going to be an outcome, and you want to have as many bodies as possible. By no further evidence than what we saw last year when the Browns were forced to start D'Ernest Johnson solo in some of these games because both Nick and Kareem were dinged up to the point that they couldn't go. We have eliminated, it feels like, the potential for a COVID game or something along those lines. We won't see those issues, hopefully, fingers crossed here as we sit in June. We won't see those issues that add an added element to the traditional injured stuff. So we'll see what shakes out there, but both Nick and Kareem have missed time the past few years, so it's noteworthy that D'Ernest Johnson sticks around. Jerome Ford, we'll see how many they keep on the roster. It looks like five running backs is less, if you include a fullback, is less unusual than in years past. They obviously are going to probably only keep three tight ends this year, which is a change because we know how Kevin Stefanski loves tight ends. But obviously we know of only two guys who are locks to make the roster in David Njoku and Harrison Bryant. We'll see how that shakes out. But nonetheless, the running back situation is what we're focusing on here. We're going to talk with Jack Duffin here in just a little bit. We're going to focus on their contracts at that point. Going to focus on his article that tries to break this down and what he would do. But we should talk about the players first. So we know Kareem Hunt is now 5 years into his NFL career. He's dealt with 2 years in Cleveland where he's had shortened seasons. 2019 due to the suspension. 2021 due to the injury to the calf that he sustained. So he's only had one full season of opportunity in Cleveland in 2020. But a reminder that in 2017, he was the NFL's rushing leader, had a great season. 2018, before it was ended early because of his situation, he had 824 yards, 7 touchdowns, was among one of the better runners in the league, had an 80.1 2017 rushing grade, had an 84.1 2018 rushing grade. He has not been able to get that rushing grade back to the KC standards in Cleveland, averaging 70, 74, and 74 over those 3 years. But again, I think largely due to the schemes at which they run, I think he's a better gap runner, and the Browns don't run a ton of gap scheme stuff, and the types of gap scheme runs are different in Cleveland than they are in KC. He ran a lot of inside zone stuff in Kansas City. Cleveland doesn't run a ton of inside zone stuff, more duo, I think duo-based and some basic big-on-big concepts in the zone stuff when it's not outside zone, and obviously was asked to run more outside zone than inside zone in Cleveland, which is a different running approach for him, but he's still been a pretty good runner. He had 198 attempts in 2020 where he ran for 841 and 6 touchdowns. Last year, 78 attempts, 386 yards, 5 touchdowns with his best yards per attempt. We talked about a disappointing outcome on yesterday's Nick Chubb episode was him getting below 5 yards per attempt. Kareem pushed to 4.9 last year, so a better number as a backup. He had 35 missed tackles forced in 2020. He had 21 missed tackles forced last year in only 78 attempts, 198 attempts the year before in 2020. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. He had one elite game grade. That was his 90.6 grade against Chicago week 3. He was phenomenal in that game. He had 10 attempts, 81 yards, a touchdown. Had a great rushing yards over expected game where he made several people on key runs miss in the backfield. Also had a pass game opportunity that was missed that would have been a really big play. That was his best game by far. He had Minnesota, the Chargers game, and the Kansas City game where he played above the 70, I would say the quality game grade mark. But, you know, Arizona, the game he got hurt, and then he only came back week 12 and week 14 for the Baltimore games before missing more time. So a very short season for Kareem. We'll talk about him in just a second in terms of our categories. D'Ernest Johnson finally broke out. If you recall, he was with the Browns in 2019 and 2020, only received in that time 37 snaps before getting 100 snaps last year. He was in a battle for that third running back position with Dontrell Hilliard. Dontrell Hilliard ultimately now ends up in Tennessee, had a pretty good run last year. When Derrick Henry was hurt, he got some opportunity. It was good to see. So D'Ernest, USFL guy, breaks into the league, gets his opportunity with the Browns. A reminder, both of these guys are 26 years old. You don't think D'Ernest would be that old, but again, you know, had to go the circocious path to find his way into the NFL and sustainability. But boy, did he break out last year with the 5.3 yards per attempt. His rush yards over expected number was extremely good. In those 100 attempts, an 81.4 offensive grade and an elite 90.6 run grade where he forced 26 missed tackles in 100 attempts. He had 16 runs of 10-plus yards, really running almost a 60-40 gap to zone scheme layover. He had 24 first-down rushes, which is all really good, and then 6 runs of 15-plus yards, which is another fantastic mark, with 99.1 elusiveness grade. Now, obviously, we're going to talk with Jack Duffin about the receiving stuff coming up soon where Kareem is clearly more comfortable than both D'Ernest and Nick Chubb, but I have my reasoning for not loving either of those things for running backs in terms of receiving and the comfortability in receiving. I'd rather have somebody else do it. But nonetheless, you're looking at two really good players here, right? D'Ernest Johnson, what does he do best? He makes people miss. He has a way of, he's not a bursty runner in terms of like run away from you speed. I should say it this way. He is a different type of runner. He is a get to his top speed fast, but he can put his foot in the ground really well and make people miss who take almost trying to really have a feel for his line of direction and using his momentum against other people. He makes people miss at an unexpected clip for me, which is really great. Has great cutback ability in terms of seeing that I need to put the outside foot in the ground and get back upfield. Really like that about his game. He can run from a variety of locations, shotgun, pistol, under center. I did like everything I saw from him last year. There's really not a ton to pick apart there. He has to improve as a complete back. Pass blocking for me, being able to effectively run screen game, because that's about the only area I love my running backs getting pass catches. Screen game for D'Ernest needs to get better. I think that would be a fantastic outcome for him, picking up on those two other elements, because the run game stuff, he fits so well. He's got the oily hips. He's got the ability to stop and start. He's not, again, not a breakaway runner when he gets past people and into the third level against DBs, but he can do enough stuff effectively at the first two levels to be, if he is the second running back, a really effective second running back. So a good, great, bad outcome for him. I mean, a bad outcome for him would be he's on the roster and he doesn't play much. Like 2020, for example, he's on the roster making the money he's making. He only had 33 attempts for 166 yards. That just wouldn't be worth it. That's a bad outcome. Not because he's a bad player or performing badly, but to me, he just doesn't end up doing anything because he doesn't get the opportunity. A good outcome would he be pushes closer to the 534-yard mark like he had last year, up above 5 yards per carry. A great outcome would be that, hey, unfortunately he's forced to play, but in that forced to play outcome, he gets on the field a ton, he gets close to 200 carries, he pushes well north of 1,000 yards, and he gets close to the 10 touchdown mark. I think if he got the lion's share of carries for an organization, he could do something like that. I don't think that opportunity sits in Cleveland, thus why we think that he could be a potential trade candidate as we get into camp, But for D'Ernest, a really great outcome for him. And again, Cleveland, too, would be that outcome I laid out if he was forced to play, but also if he yields some sort of trade that gets the Browns another pick in the 2023 draft, that would be a nice outcome for both D'Ernest if he gets to go to a place that gives him great opportunity, a clear path, because his path is not clear. He could get opportunity in Cleveland, but the path is not clear, and it probably relies on somebody we don't want to get hurt getting hurt. So that's my thought there. That would be a great outcome, a trade that yields something positive in return and gives him an opportunity, or if he's forced to play, we know that he could push north of 1,000 yards. For Kareem, just like I mentioned, he could have a great outcome, which is getting something back in return for Cleveland that's meaningful in the upcoming draft. I think he's also got the ability, as we know, to push close to 200 carries, push close to 900 yards, add some receiving elements, get you 6 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns. He could carry that load that he has done and proven so to do in KC. I don't think he's the most patient runner. Like I think if you watch Kareem, he's not built on patience and vision so much as an immediate and sudden downhill burst and bullying style of run. He has this ability, this keen ability to fall forward all the time. He's always falling forward. He's always, even if his weight is getting shifted back against him, he figures out some way to wiggle out of it and fall forward. He's such a great downhill trap and power counter runner when it's tight inside the tackle box, because he's an immediate runner, immediate top speed, and he runs with such physicality. He's a great goal line back because of that. There's not much thinking. There's just get me the football. It's A to B downhill. Some of that A to B downhill nature hurts him in this offense because it takes a lot of patience and a lot of vision. But I think what he can do in certain portions of the field can yield some really great results for the Browns. He could, if given enough goal line opportunities in a given season as the backup running back, he could be a 5, 6, 700 yard rusher with close to 10 touchdowns because of the way they like to split up their carries. And as you get down close to the goal line, in any given season, it's sort of unpredictable how many times you maybe get tackled at the 1, 2, 3, 4 yard line, and then you bring in a running back who you think is your best fit to score in those goal line situations, which has been proven to be Kareem over the years. So I think that outcome's good. A bad outcome to me would be something like we saw, you know, his first year in Cleveland when he got the 44 carries. If he dips down below a 3.9 yards per attempt mark would be bad. The rushing grade, the run grade dips below 70, that would be a bad outcome. And just he never is able to carry the load as a lead back in case Nick goes down, and he just doesn't seem to go and make plays over the expected that this offensive line will give him. They need the yin and yang, which to me, that perfect yin and yang is a zone runner, a patient runner who relies on precise cuts, being able to see the lanes open up at the perfect time, making that nice cut to get whether it's the bang course, the bend course, or the bounce course in that zone stuff. Kareem is a nice bowling ball, change of pace back who is downhill immediately in your face. And that's what makes Nick and Kareem really fun, is their differing approaches to the position. So that would be the element that the Browns would really like. The question is, as you look at the contracts, you look at the sheer nature of both attempts, injuries, and volume, what does that best course of action look like, right? I think you have to evaluate that. And I think Jack does a really good job of evaluating it. We're going to talk to him right now. We're going to shift over there. Before we do, though, I want to get a quick word from our sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so lately we have had some great discussions both in Slack, where we have our OBR banter, and then some stuff has come up on Twitter, but Jack finally put this to paper with his latest article, Kareem Hunt versus D'Ernest Johnson, the battle for running back number two. Jack, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, I'm surprised there hasn't been a mob chasing me. This has been out there for like 24 hours, and it's everyone that's read it has been super positive. Anyone that's negative, I ask them, oh, what do you think of the article? Oh, no, I've refused to read it. And it's like, well, you can't really hate it then, can you?
No, you can't. Well, I don't think there's a really wrong direction to go here. So, but I get kind of both sides of it to an extent. So let's dig into your article. Kind of talk me through where you landed. I know you looked at the rushing perspective. You looked at the Pro Football Focus grades, the receiving grades, and a couple other things. And I know D'Ernest Johnson's sample is small. It's obviously not nearly as vast as Kareem's throughout his career, but it's a really positive start to his career, you know?
It was phenomenal. So effectively, I just went, let's take all the emotion, I nearly wrote it up as just player A and player B and then said, who do you want? But I thought, let's just put names to it. And I came into expecting the results to be Kareem Hunt is better. That was everything I expected. So almost expected to be a piece I wrote and then was like, yep, keep Kareem Hunt. Even though it's more money, keep him. But outside of rushing, I couldn't find a legitimate point or any part of data, evidence that said, yeah, Kareem Hunt's better, which just shocked me.
Yeah, I think so too, because most people would believe that Kareem was infinitely better. And that could be true. Look, we could see a second year from D'Ernest Johnson that's nowhere near as good. We look at the data here. So the yards per attempt, we're going to exclude Nick Chubb from conversations. We went through his ridiculous numbers yesterday. Jack just expanded on some of those in these graphs and different things that he did. But the rushing yards over expected last year, D'Ernest Johnson had a 5.3 mark to Hunt's 4.5, right? So that ultimately tips in the direction of D'Ernest. I know Kareem was hurt for portions of last year, but that also plays into it, right? So the rushing grade, this is where in 2021 you start to see a really great rushing grade from D'Ernest Johnson, and when his opportunities were there, he had a 90.6 rushing grade, which not among the highest number of volume of attempts to qualify him among, you know, the league's leading running backs, but if you just look at a certain portion of snaps, that is the best grade that the NFL had last year. While Kareem had a 74.3, he had a 75.1 the year before, which put him at 29th. He's been 29th, 28th, something in that realm. Receiving yards per catch, D'Ernest Johnson had a 6.9 to Kareem Hunt's 8.0. The drop number, D'Ernest Johnson had some drops. But I don't think you're going to use D'Ernest Johnson in the mold. And listen, I'm in the mold that, like, I don't want my running back to be a receiver that often, Jack. I just would rather have a receiver out there. I don't always want that to be a thing. Like, I don't think, put it this way, unless you find a ridiculously gifted running back receiver like Christian McCaffrey before the injury bug hit him, like, I just would rather have a tight end out there or somebody more attuned to running routes. It's just me personally. I think if you're trying to rely on your running back to be a pass catcher, then you probably should just put Demetric Felton on the field, right? Like, I just would rather have that.
Yeah, and if we look at Saquon Barkley, who should be, in theory, if you're looking at Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, these guys should be the elite pass-catching running backs. All the expected points data says that's still negative expected points. It's more efficient than passing the ball, which is no surprise. We see Nick Chubb go to more yards when catching the ball rather than when carrying it. But throw the ball either at a tight end or at a wide receiver. Yeah, if you want to throw a screen to Nick Chubb and let him run it, by all means. But that should be the exception and almost the screen's not a trick play, but it's that element of it's something different. I don't want my running back taking catches. And if D'Ernest Johnson stays, I don't ever want to see him get a target ever again. And I'm more than happy with that. Pass the ball to these wide receivers.
Yeah, I could see the occasional linebacker matchup like they had one. I think Chicago last year, they caught him on a wheel route, or might have been Baltimore the year before. I don't know if Baker missed him. But nonetheless, it's a situation where I don't want that volume to be very high. So I find running back receiving grades to be a bit trivial. Like, I just don't put a ton of stock in them because the opportunity is not – there are no Marshall Faulks anymore. They're just not because, A, that era where the guys like Marshall Faulk were exploiting coverage were playing against terribly unathletic linebackers who were built to stop the run. You don't have that advantage anymore, Jack. That is not a thing. You look at linebackers across the league, they're increasing in athletic ability and less of them are on the field, right? Which means more DBs are on the field. What do DBs like to do? Oh, cover not unathletic, but cover uncomfortable route running backs. That's what they like to cover because that's an easy cover. So I don't like to put too much stock in receiving grade. The health is interesting. I think D'Ernest is a little older than people think, right? It's kind of amazing that D'Ernest is pretty much the same age as Kareem. They're both 26. Hunt's going to turn 27 sooner, but they're both 26. So that's an interesting thing, right? And talk about their contract too. We should dig into that a little bit.
Yeah. And just on the health, it's one that I hold that concern of he missed 9 games last year, Kareem Hunt. And I don't think he misses 9 this year. But I think you're talking 4 minimum, if not higher, 5. I think that just naturally comes with issues. And he's played 3,000 snaps in college and the pros versus D'Ernest 1,500. So that is a factor that I think people are like, oh, Kareem Hunt's better. Yeah, but you're going to lose him for basically quarter of the season. Are you ready for that with you're asking them 4 to step up and be the running back? Potentially week 1 or 2 if Kareem Hunt goes down really early. But in terms of contracts, you're paying Hunt's contract in total this year is $6.25 million. And then D'Ernest Johnson on the other side is $1.2 million. And that's tiny in comparison. There is incentives that could double D'Ernest Johnson's contract. But even at double, it's not even coming close to what half of Kareem Hunt is. And my argument with this when looking at the running back is this is Nick Chubb's backup. Why are fans so actively wanting to take Nick Chubb off the field to put another running back out there? Because it's not like the money's going to a starting defensive tackle at $6 million, a wide receiver two, whatever position where you want a starter. We're talking about this guy potentially playing a third of snaps. And that is a lot of money to pay for a guy that you ideally want out there only ever when Nick Chubb goes, yeah, I just need a quick breather, which is perfectly fine. You get that at the position. This isn't a position where you want Jadeveon Clowney to be the Robin to Myles Garrett's Batman.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And that $6 million rollover could be really nice to cover some void year stuff that they have out there. Let me ask you this. It's pretty obvious that there's a baseline to the plan. The baseline to the plan is we just keep all of them. Will it bother you if they keep all of them? I mean, we won't know if it gets public, Jack, in terms of like whether trades were actually being manifested for either of these guys, Kareem or D'Ernest. Because I've made the point that if a team wanted to pay up, they would come and pay up for Kareem. And maybe the smart team wouldn't pay up because they're taking on more money and they're probably giving up a higher pick. While D'Ernest Johnson seems to be a pretty capable player who can be had for a cheaper contract and a cheaper draft pick in theory. I think Kareem Hunt is a very nice football player who has a lot of Cleveland nostalgia in terms of like, not nostalgia, but his connection to the home city has helped his stock as he's gone public, kind of pushing for his next contract. If they don't trade any of these guys, do you think there is enough, like, will it just be a waste of money, or do you think they're going to find enough work for these guys? They found enough work last year, but it's tough. You don't see many teams get to their third running back all too often, you know?
Yeah, they found the work because Nick Chubb missed a tiny bit of time rotating in and out, and then Kareem Hunt missed half a season. And that's why they sort of found the time. And you don't want to go in with that plan. And I don't see a route where Nick Chubb is on the 20, not Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt is on the 2023 roster because he's probably going to be looking at about $7.5 million in free agency next year. And when you're paying a quarterback $46 million a year, you can't be paying the backups $7.5 million. And he is a backup because we've already established Nick Chubb is the starter. So if you've got Kareem Hunt for 1 year, he's gone. And I think with D'Ernest Johnson, if you tell him this year, hey, you're going to be RB3, I don't think there's any incentive for him to then re-sign in a year's time. He's going to go, hey, they didn't really want to use me. I'm now going to go in and sign for another team, because we're talking about somewhere between 1.75 and 2.5 mil. But if we reverse that and keep D'Ernest Johnson this year as our running back two, hey, you're then in a year's time going, he was really good. We'll keep him for somewhere in 1.75 to 2.5 mil range. You can happily have that as a backup, because that's 5 mil a year less, where there's no issue with paying a backup a little bit of money. We're not talking about the big, big bucks. So I think that's part of the big advantage, just looking beyond this year, because otherwise you keep both, they're both gone in a year's time, and you're relying on Ford, or maybe Felton's gone, so you're relying on Ford to be your RB2 in 2023. And I think roster construction is that look at the three-year picture, not just at what do we do in 2022, because 2022 has impacts for 2023 and 2024.
Couldn't agree more. Well said, Jack. Hey, man, I appreciate your time on a quick notice this morning. Go. First of all, you have to be an OBR subscriber to read almost all of Jack's work, which is the way we love it. So if you're a subscriber, you should definitely check out the Kareem Hunt versus D'Ernest Johnson battle for running back two situation that he wrote about. And then if you're not a subscriber, this is the type of content you get pretty much on a weekly basis from Jack as we continue to look forward at what this thing is going to look like this year and beyond with his GM chair series, which is great stuff. Jack, we appreciate your time, man.
Thanks so much. And yeah, the GM series, most people are writing about the 2022 roster. I've got you covered 2022, 2023, 2024, why certain players are going to make it, what the future of every room looks like. So loads of fun content out there. And if there's any articles you want and you're an OBR subscriber, hit me in the DMs on the OBR and I'll write it for you.
There we go. Appreciate you, Jack. Okay, so as we close, I just kind of want to remind you, I'm very understanding that D'Ernest Johnson's sample size is not large here. He could have a really big regression from last year where his season's not anywhere near good and the underlying rushing yards over expected metric and all of that. I totally get it. It could happen. The Browns are weighing that risk. I think they just wanted to put themselves in a position of power here where they didn't let a talented player like D'Ernest walk. They could also have a couple trade pieces come training camp if a running back goes down or a team wants to bolster their running back room. It's all there. I get it. I don't expect the Browns to move on from Kareem Hunt, but I could totally see it. And Jack lays out a good rationale for why they could potentially move on from Kareem. I like the tandem. I think there's a lot there. I also see Jerome Ford, and we're going to talk more about him tomorrow and think he's going to be an answer down the line. I'm fine with whatever they do. I think that they can make a great trade for Kareem. They can make a great trade and get something back for D'Ernest, and he could help another team. And then I think they have Ford who's ready to go as well as a rookie, because rookies typically are ready to get out on the field as a running back to make sure to use up players at the peak part of their athleticism. And you don't want to just have a rookie sitting at the running back position and getting older. That's just not a wise thing to do. So I think the Browns are prepared for a bunch of different outcomes here. But if the outcome is ultimately that all of them are in Cleveland, I think you can find a path to using them, finding merit, and it's nice to have an insurance policy. So they're in a really good spot here. This is not a bad spot. It's just it's an interesting discussion spot that has a lot of different twists and turns. I'm not sure it has a totally wrong answer. I can see why you love Kareem Hunt if you love Kareem Hunt. I can see why you prefer to move on from Kareem Hunt, because you see an opportunity for a really good player to get a chance at a much cheaper rate behind him. And I also, as Jack said, don't want to push Nick Chubb off the field at any point in time because he's so gifted, but because you feel like you have to play other players to justify either the money or the talent or whatever. So it's interesting. It's fascinating. It's one of the few positions the Browns are operating from an overwhelming talent at the position that could yield something in return that's positive, but also might just be a group that they say, hey, screw it. We're going to lean on these guys because of the quarterback situation like crazy and try to get the most out of our run game and these guys, whether run game or some interesting sneaky pass game stuff too, that maybe is just a part of a groundwork for getting through a suspension for Deshaun Watson and winning enough football games to stay relevant. So we'll see. It's an interesting position group. We'll have more on that position group tomorrow with Jerome Ford and looking at the rest of the bodies on the roster. It'll be a little quicker pod because there's not quite as much to talk about there, but we will dig in to the film of Jerome Ford and talk about that player at a lot more in-depth pace because I don't think we have a great feel for him yet as a collective Browns discussion. Who is this guy? What can he provide? And is he a reason the Browns don't mind moving on from one of these two guys as the second running back and third running back because Ford can slide into that third back and we want to get him on the field. So we'll see what it looks like. And also we'll talk Johnny Stanton, the fullback position, that evolving situation, where it's potentially going, and obviously going to talk about the rest of the camp bodies at the position as well because there are a few guys out there. So appreciate you guys checking out this episode today. If you have any questions on this running back 2 battle, check us out at the OBR. More than willing to answer your questions and go through some of our thought process. Thanks for checking out today's episode, guys. Have a great Tuesday, and go Browns!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.